Welcome to Season 2 of Fit to Be Radio, in which we're discussing biopsychosocial dimensions of fitness and physical activity. Fit to Be Radio is a production of Fit to Be Studio, which specializes in home workouts and e-courses for those dealing with diastasis recti. Slip your smartphone into your pocket and strap on your sneakers, and take us along for a walk while we talk. Or just grab your favorite drink and get on the floor and stretch. It's going to be a great show.
Hey everybody, welcome to Fit to Be Radio. My name is Chris Banky. I'll be your host today. I'm hosting this podcast with Beth Learn. She's the CEO and founder of Fit to Be Studio. And we also have an awesome guest with us today, Patrice Hazan. Thank you for joining us. Really glad that you could make some time to be with us on today's podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, for sure. So Patrice is the CEO of GroupHab. I would love to learn a little bit more about your background, your interests. What is it that you specialize in and do?
Mm-hmm. I'm a physical therapist, and I've, of course, been practicing for years, and I was frustrated with the past medical model, or the present medical model, of working with patients short term and then discharging them with the home exercise program, which they do not follow for many different very valid reasons. And so they end up coming back needing physical therapy again. So it was a model like just kind of a revolving door circle of physical therapy that wasn't working. And so I wanted to offer something different. And I opened GroupHab in 2015 with the concept of trying to offer group exercise classes. So use my knowledge and experience as a physical therapist to develop and offer group exercise classes for individuals managing chronic conditions in specialized populations.
Wow, that's fantastic.
So good.
I think compliance is one of the most difficult things to work on, because people, they kind of get used to their thing, right? And then they want help, but they don't want it. So how has that been going for you with the group kind of approach?
It's been great. It really is, because when I opened, of course, really no one had really heard about group exercise developed by PT for wellness. It wasn't something that was currently being done. And so, we opened and we started, and pretty much through word of mouth and direct patient marketing, the program has spread. And over the course of 5 years, we developed a wide range of classes that are all functionally based with an assessment process. And we also offer individual physical therapy, because the other thing that was kind of interesting is that I opened just planning on offering only group classes. But what I found was that when someone would come in after, let's say, answering an ad where I'm advertising the group exercise classes for individuals with impaired balance or whatnot, they would come in and I would do an assessment, and I would feel that they quite often needed individual therapy first, because of course they're answering the ad because they feel they have some impaired mobility. So that kind of brought them in. And so when they come in, I find that they need individual therapy. Then we might do a few sessions of individual therapy and then work on transitioning them into our group program. So it's a blending of individual mm-hmm. physical therapy as well as group. So you get some of that one-on-one and then you transfer them into the group.
So the
business model works really well, and the two things together work really well.
So it sounds
so good. I'm in your non-clinical PT group, and I love the pictures you post of the exercises that you do, and it resonates with me because that's how I teach my classes in the community. I'm not a physical therapist, but I have collaborated with so many physical therapists and been trained by so many and worked with them, and you know, gaining knowledge from even being in a group like yours. It's like, these are the exercises that truly help people. But like you said, a lot of them need to be referred back out for some individual sessions. I'm always saying, hey, let me know after class if this isn't working for you so I can refer you to somebody if you need help. And mm-hmm. blessed be those clinics that are doing both. That I feel like every clinic should be doing that, what you're doing. Mm-hmm.
Oh, for sure.
I definitely feel like I actually feel like this should be a different way to practice physical therapy, is that actually having a clinic like this where you do have the group class offerings as well as the individual. And I feel like that could even be a more efficient way to deliver physical therapy care, in particular for our geriatric patients that have multiple comorbidities and they mm-hmm. have several things I need to work on: their endurance, their strength, their balance. And you don't usually just come in with one thing, but I need a really comprehensive program that addresses all of that. And so a model like this could actually be used where you might say, see a patient one time, one-on-one during the week, and then maybe have them have two group classes. And the idea is that the group classes is skilled because we, of course, have an assessment process for every single patient that comes in, the physical therapy assessment, wellness assessment process. And then we have the group classes that are designed functionally based by physical therapists so that each class has a different kind of functional level. And so when the patient goes into the class, they feel comfortable knowing that that is exactly the right level for them. So they're not going to be trying to, you know, work too hard or be at risk, you know, for falling or something. And it's not going to be too easy because that can be another problem with classes is they're not challenging enough.
It's very similar to how we do Fit to Be in the sense of, you know, you can look at Fit to Be as a big, huge, gigantic group fitness platform in the sense of we've got, you know, over 200 videos, we've got thousands of people around the world using them. And then I offer these little tools and training methods within the videos. Like, hey, if you notice this during this exercise, you need to go talk to a PT about this. It might be this. And I insert those right into the workout. And by doing that, we've referred thousands of people to physical therapists in their local communities. And then they come back because it's like, okay, they know we're not going to undo the work. And it forms good relationships worldwide. And it's exciting to be a part of that because we can't all be good at everything. But you've got a good thing going where you're doing both. It's awesome.
Thank you very much.
I think it's really interesting. I think one of the problems that people have with a lot of different things, but fitness is definitely one of them, where you say, "Hey, I've got a system and it works for this person, or it works for myself, and I'm gonna so it works. It works great, and now I'm gonna teach and implement it and push it out onto someone. And it might work for them, or it might work moderately for them, or it might not work for them at all." So I feel like what I hear you saying is you're very careful to bring them in, do a real full assessment so you can kind of understand. And whatever's appropriate for that person, you can kind of say, okay, we need some individual sessions. You should probably try this group. This group session, we'll see how that works. And that way you're kind of customizing this around what the individual person needs. And I think that that is largely missing in the industry. It feels like it's missing.
That is absolutely correct. I mean, the program is really tailored for each individual. So we say individualized care in a small group setting. So we do that initial assessment where you really get to know the person's needs. We could also do any disease-specific education during that initial assessment process. And then since we know them really well, as we place them in the class, we're going to place them in the correct functional class. And then in addition to that, we try to prepare them for the different exercises and maybe ways they might need to make it harder or easier or anything that they need to maybe watch out for in terms of, like, you know, maybe don't do the lunges this way or modify the class. So we can give them personal modifications based on the fact that we've already done that complete assessment process. So our program is really targeted towards a population where there's a gap in the continuum of care. And so that I see patients that have those complex medical needs. For them, I feel like there are not as many options of where to go to exercise. So that's where we fill that need, and we have that medical expertise to really help them.
Yeah.
And really a lot of the things that we do in an individual treatment-wise, especially for balance, how we have to challenge balance in so many different ways with, you know, your visual challenges, vestibular challenges, motor sensory, all these things, we can provide such a wide range of balance challenges that typically are not found in any other class. So that's, you know, as physical therapists, that's our area of expertise. And so that knowledge can certainly be applied in a small group setting.
Now, our theme for this season is the biopsychosocial / spiritual, I think, model of care and how that relates to fitness and physical therapy and any kind of motion. Anybody that's putting motion out there, there's this larger conversation happening about well, but how does this impact our biology and our psychology and our sociology and our spirituality and all that? Because we're holistic beings.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Sure. Well, yes, absolutely.
How do you see that playing out in what you're doing?
I think that is a huge factor in the success of this whole model, and also how effective the group classes are, because these patients, they start coming to the class and they make friends. And so it's so much more than only exercising. It's now they have this sense of community and they support one another, and they notice, like, oh my gosh, you're standing up so much straighter, your balance has improved so much, or look how you can do that exercise now. And I remember when you couldn't, I remember how you were walking with the cane. So they have that big sense of community, and that increases their adherence to the exercise. They want to come, they participate. And, you know, when they're enjoying it and they're with their friends, they're all working harder together. So it really plays a huge role. And even, in terms of a business model, it's very rewarding for me, because I feel like we're really making a huge impact on improving their overall quality of life, not just physically, but actually, like you mentioned, spiritually and biosocially, all those things. So it really plays a huge role. And we try to do things also to kind of help foster that as well. Like we, of course, in birthday cards, if someone hasn't been coming for a while, we call and check on them. We try to have like a little monthly member meetup where they can come and we might have a little talk or bring some food or something. So we try to do things that also really foster that too. So it is really, really important, right? I know that when you think about how so many older adults, and probably just adults in general, are not exercising, they're not adhering to a program, that social aspect will help them adhere.
So do you feel like, do you feel like the biggest contributor to the success is the accountability part, or do you feel like it's the, or do you feel like it's the encouragement part, or is it just kind of all blended?
I think it's actually a number of factors that all play together. I think the success of the program is actually also the program, because the patients that are coming in here are complex medically. So they usually have, several issues, and it's not easy for them to exercise. And they don't really, they need more than like the volunteer led or the free exercise, or even some of the organized like Silver Sneakers programs or something. They're just too difficult for them. So if the program itself is actually tailored or they're, for them, so that it's going to be the right level, so they feel like they can do it. Can you imagine how frustrating it is if you come in and you're afraid you're going to fall or they're going too fast?
You can't do it. Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, so it's the program, the assessment process and the program, and then on top of that, they come and everyone is kind of just like them, they're at the same level, so they're not coming in and feeling like, they're right next to the athlete. They actually notice that people are in the same boat. So even if you think about group therapy from a psychosocial aspect, all that support, you get the same thing in this physical group exercise class. I mentioned earlier that a population where I feel like this is very, very effective is the bariatric patient population, that I have found that we have just branched out into this area, and we have a partnership with Prisma Health and Weight Management where we're doing exercise classes for their patients of size. And I feel that this model is so effective because everyone there is, like I said, in the same boat. And they're coming to a class where it's safe. They don't have to feel threatened by people that are in great shape, or it's really tailored for them. And then they have the support of one another, all working together. So it's just such a great model for that population too.
That's really,
I especially love what you said about those people that are at their level. They're not being intimidated.
Right. Exactly right. They come in and they, and that's why sometimes our videos are, so effective in terms of bringing more patients in, because patients will see the videos and they'll feel like, oh my God, I think I could do that. It's actually, those people look like us, like me, and it's something that I could do. So, whereas, and what I hear often is that, patients are always telling me, They had nowhere to go to exercise, or they felt like they had nowhere to go before a group hop, and now they feel like they have a place to belong.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So important.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Mm-hmm. And I know just from a clinician, I've been a clinician for many years, over 20, and I've always loved physical therapy, but I have never been as satisfied and just feeling like I'm mm-hmm. doing so much for my patients as I do in this setting right now. Because I really, you also get to know your patients really well because they're coming 3 times a week, let's say, to your classes. And so, you know, you learn a lot about them, and it's that social interaction. And then you cover them for a longer period of time. I have people who've been coming to see me for 4 years, and they're coming to our classes regularly. I mean, this is what we call even the group have family. So it's just a wonderful mm-hmm. environment that way. So it's so rewarding. And then from a business aspect, it creates a fantastic business because these mm-hmm. patients, when they need physical therapy, you're right there for them. They also, they're happy with the program. They tell their friends. When their friends need physical therapy, they come to our program. So it's really, if you're looking at it from a business aspect, it's a direct form of patient marketing that is so effective while mm-hmm. also so effective in helping them too. So it's really a yeah. win-win every way you go.
So yeah. let's dig in a little bit to the clients that you've had for a long time. Do you have you seen a difference in the clients that you've had for a long, let's say over 2 years, in their yeah. improvement versus someone that doesn't have both aspects of it? Like they don't have the group part of it. Do you see it? Like is it, can you tell a difference between those two groups?
Yeah, absolutely. We can. So I've had patients that actually participated in individual therapy, many, many patients that have participated in individual therapy, and they made so much progress within individual therapy, then they're ready for discharge. And then they start coming to our group, and they stay with our group, you know, for really years. And during that group session, they make so much more progress. For one thing, it is the duration of the treatment and the exercise, sure. because it takes time to show improvement. And so that time allows them to improve more than they did just in that individual session. But also, coming back to your specific question about, do I see a difference in the patients coming to group versus the patients not coming to group? We actually are finishing up a research project. So I'm working with Anderson really University, awesome. And mm-hmm. we've done a fantastic research project where we, I guess it's a spoiler alert, but where we took patients that came to our treatment for balance. So they had recurring falls and they were treated for balance. So they all received the same basic treatment. And then at the end of the session, we gave them a choice. They could come to our class or they could do the home exercise program or find community resources that we would try to direct them to. And so we followed up after 3 months and we did the ABC balance score and we had a bunch of different questions. And one of the most significant findings is that, of the group that went home with the home exercise program, there were over 8 people who fell, and they fell more than once. So in mm-hmm. our group, there was only one person who fell, and they only fell once. So that mm-hmm. was really statistically significant. And so that yeah. huge finding. And then the other mm-hmm. aspects of the study, too, also did demonstrate that there was really quite a bit of difference between our group and the group that had the home exercise program. So I'm looking forward yeah. to finishing that up. And
I want to clarify something really quick. I know Chris has a question too, but you know, you talk about falling. When I was younger, I didn't understand why that was such a big concern. You know, you fall down, you get back up. What's the big deal? You know,
right.
Explain really quickly why falling is such a concern for geriatric populations.
Oh my goodness. Falling, I'm afraid, sometimes, many times, can be the beginning of the end for them. Because for one thing, even mm-hmm. if they don't hurt themselves when they do fall, falling creates a fear of falling. And so because they have a mm-hmm. fear of falling, they're going to reduce their activity level because they don't want to fall. So then they become even more deconditioned and more weak, which of course makes them at more of a risk for falling. So it's really a vicious cycle from that one fall. Yeah. And of course, the number of fractures and things that occur from a fall also are so debilitating for patients too, or can be. And often patients don't ever even fully recover from having a hip fracture.
Yeah.
They never get back to their previous level of function. So fall.
I remember learning when I was in college, Oregon State University, getting my degree in exercise and sports science, and we took an aging class. It was all about aging and the physical dimensions of that and how they play out in activity and fitness. And I will never forget, my jaw dropped. I was so shocked when the professor said that over half of people who enter the hospital for a hip fracture don't come out alive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that was in, like, I think that was in 2000, and it might have been 2000 because I graduated 2001. And I just, he went on to show the studies and to talk about why that is. You know, they go to the hospital, they might develop other conditions, they're not moving, they have to go through rehab, they may or may not progress through rehab, and then they get pneumonia while they're in the hospital, or they get MRSA, or they, you know, they get some other thing while they're there, and they just spiral. And, right. And I that broke my heart. And that was the moment that I realized, whoa, falling is a serious thing when you, especially if you're older, you've got osteoporosis or any type of other bone-related problem. Mm-hmm. And this is why exercise is important. So we need to get people exercising. But when you have multiple comorbidities, like you said, where mm-hmm. you've got multiple illnesses happening, if somebody tells you, well, you just need to exercise, that's easier said than done. So you're coming in and filling a really important gap. Chris, what was your question?
Well, I have several, but I have one that kind of dovetails with what you're talking about. So I think that what you guys are both talking about kind of ties into this phenomenon that's been well researched that talks about when someone goes from even a not that active job into retirement, there mm-hmm. is this radical decline in health. And even if they had a desk job, there's still a radical decline. And I think what happens is, and I think what's been studied is, there's just this this forced set of routine, which involves movement and going somewhere and doing something and kind of being accountable to something and having these patterns that are healthy because you're doing things. Mm-hmm. And that right. person, maybe they're not the pinnacle of health, but they don't exercise, but they have this certain level of health.
They're moving.
And they're thinking to themselves, I've never had to exercise. Why is this so important? Why is this so important? Well, because once that set of accountability ends, then there is just this drastic drop in just simple movements. And mm-hmm. that can cause a rapid decline. And then it kind of starts that spiraling thing where you're talking about, where you become weaker, then you're afraid of falling. And then so you move less, and then become weaker. So you're more afraid of falling. It's just this spiraling downhill. And I think.
And then you go out as much, and then you don't. And then that's the whole biopsychosocial thing coming into play again.
And then mm-hmm. you become more secluded. Yeah. And so then you're more nervous. And there's, so I really, really like what you're saying about kind of pulling people into this environment where they're moving. And they also have this community yeah. of people around them, but you're also paying attention to the individual needs where needed. And I think it's mm-hmm. very unique, and I can see why it's working well. I mean, it seems it's obvious as you're saying it, but I think it's not common, yeah. even though it seems obvious as you're talking about it. Like, this is obviously a great way to do things.
I know, you know what, I feel that same way too. It's kind of like a no-brainer that, you know, just only working with patients one-on-one is not the most efficient way to provide care. And then just what you're mentioning too about all of those psychosocial aspects, the model's perfect for that. I mean, when you're thinking about really wanting the goal to be improving someone's quality of life physically and then also, you know, socially and emotionally, then this is perfect. Mm-hmm. Perfect. And you know how exercise mm-hmm. makes you feel better anyway, increases your endorphins and helps with everything, pretty much sleeping better, depression. Yeah. And so here you're doing that activity that's so positive with other people that are kind of in the same, you know, are facing a lot of the same stressors and the same concerns that you have. It's just really such a good model.
That's amazing. So I guess one question is how do people get plugged into things like what you're talking about if, you know, they're in an area where there isn't a clinic that's like this? Like, what's your recommendation to them?
Well, I don't think there are too many clinics out there like ours, actually. I think I was probably, you know, dare I say, one of the first, the only ones that I've really heard of. So what I would love to see is other clinics doing exactly what we're doing, you know, so basically taking a model like this, creating functionally based classes. And our classes also, one thing I didn't mention before was that our classes, we have wellness classes. So we have classes that are wellness in that they contain aerobic, strengthening, balance, and flexibility. So designing these classes that are wellness classes and then having the assessment process and putting them in, that's why I would love to see more clinics like this. So, if you're asking me, what do we tell people that don't have this? Maybe see if you can have it. get to work and try to, and we offer some education too, actually at Group Path too. We'll be happy to help anyone with that, but it's a wonderful thing. And our community has benefited so much. And we were awarded, by the American Physical Therapy Association as South Carolina, Practice of the Year. So that's really huge, considering that I'm one person and this is one person, you know, with a clinic versus hospitals and university clinics and all of the other stuff. So
it's a testament to what you're doing, but it's also kind of embarrassing for those other organizations, really, with a lot more resources.
Yeah.
I mean, to be blunt, they should be doing a better job. So
I agree. Yeah, I could not agree more. You know what? I could not agree more. So I'm even going to take the opportunity to say some frustration with that, because I know I did approach the hospital system before I even opened. And I did approach actually the American Physical Therapy Association, the geriatric section. And I tried to apply to their innovative program where they sponsor different ideas and things. And I was never accepted. And so really, as an entrepreneur, there was like no other choice for me. I didn't see any other way to try to deliver this model than to take the plunge. And so
and do it yourself.
And so thankfully my husband was supportive. I was able to, talk to him enough about how I felt that this would really help patients, and I knew that it would work and we could just give it a try. And we did. But sometimes I feel like it's the entrepreneurs in our country who sometimes take risks that big corporations are not willing to do. So
We're with you on that. That's why we exist.
Right.
Now, over in our area, we work really closely with the Coming Team Clinic. They are a core rehabilitation specialized clinic out of Camas, Washington. And I did my original core rehab for my diastasis recti in a group session with her. And was, part lecture, learning, group practice of certain things. And I know that she still does offer group sessions, but it's all specific to the core. It's not necessarily big movement sessions. I have led a couple of fitness classes at her clinic, and that has been amazing. Mm-hmm. What we struggle with, and I bet you can speak to this as well, is that in the postnatal population, early postnatal, young mothers, like, one in elementary school, one in preschool, and one still on the breast. Getting them to come to a class is the hardest thing. Unless there's like built-in childcare, and then that's another issue. It is a challenge.
Do you think that's because they're so busy with just raising children and things, or I know as mothers you tend to kind of put yourself last, I hate to say, but
yeah, I think it's being busy. I think it's being tired. I think it's getting the kids in the car and going somewhere to one more thing when you just want to crawl out of bed and not even be cool.
I would say a big part of it, just bluntly, is the priority is priorities wrong. So we're just culturally we're just programmed that that season is about total and complete sacrifice, and there's no way around the fact that it is a lot of sacrifice. So it's not totally off, but what's off in what is short-sighted is this kind of misunderstanding and belief that well, I can make a sacrifice without taking care of myself. And I think that comes from the culture, and I think it comes from women's own ignorance, because before they're in that season, they're pretty like, they kind of like can do a lot. And so they're just not thinking about it with the right maturity and understanding and perspective, because they haven't gone through it yet. And then once they're into it that deep, then it's like, it just becomes a way of life. So it really is an education thing that should be starting way earlier. I mean, and we've tried to do this, and we're trying to figure out how to do this better. I mean, we've even put together a course for girls, an e-course, and in it it's talking about the importance of some of these things way before this part of their season. But just trying to create this awareness that, look, like, you can't, it's that whole oxygen mask thing in the airplane. Put yours on first, otherwise you'll be passed out and then your kid will die. Like, you have to actually take care of yourself first. That's not selfish. Like, that's the smartest thing to do. But it doesn't feel that way. It feels selfish. And I think that that's the problem that you're up against. So it's like an education and a cultural reprogramming. So part of the pessimist side of me is like, well, good luck. Like, you're not going to pass that.
Yeah.
But the entrepreneurial side of me and like the optimistic side of me is like, well, we just need to, you know, teach and show and, you know, change.
Yeah, man, I don't like part of what you just said, Chris, but it's true. It's the whole ignorance. It's, you know, when I was a young mom, I was still thinking, hey, I'm just going to go right back into my crunches and sit-ups and doing my planks after I have my baby. And I did, and it bit me in the butt later, because at the time I was ignorant of what was really happening inside my core. And I did not have that information. And then I shunned the information for a while because of my own pride.
Imagine all the people that.
Yeah, 14 years ago, I didn't know about the ramifications of diastasis. I didn't know about how my choices early postpartum could impact where I'm at now, which is perimenopause. I now know that what I do now in perimenopause will drastically affect how I go through menopause and how I go through aging. Like, I can do things now to build my bone density, to maintain it, to improve it. I can do things now to benefit my heart health so that I will decline slower later on. I know that. But as a young mom, did I know that? Did I have the energy? Did I have the resources? I had the support. I actually had really good support. That's part of my privilege. Like, my husband's amazing. My community was amazing. And my education was amazing. But I still had gaps in my knowledge because we just can never stop learning. That's really the heart of it. That's why we're doing this podcast. Yeah. Any closing thoughts, Patrice?
I'm just glad to have the opportunity to come on and talk with you about this. I feel so strongly that this has worked so well in our community, and I know that it would work really well in other communities. I would say maybe another closing thought is that with this program, it just keeps branching out. And so now we've kind of branched out into community centers as well, where we're trying to offer our classes in community centers for senior centers. From a business standpoint, once again, it's that direct patient marketing. So, of course, we do have to make a living. So, you have to, like, how could you go teach a class in a community center? Well, the reason why is because you make a lot of contacts, and it's really direct patient marketing, which is the most rewarding type of marketing you can possibly do when you're out there helping people, that they remember you, and when they need therapy, they come to you.
That's awesome stuff.
That is good. I love the mission that you guys are doing. I think that you know, pioneers like you are going to help other organizations long term learn how to do things better. That's what our belief is in you and things like that. So keep doing it and keep winning awards so people have to pay attention. And it's good. So keep doing that. We're really glad that you're out there doing what you're doing. We also ask everyone in our podcast what their favorite exercise is. And as someone that's, you know, doing all the different things you're doing, you know about all these different types of exercises and their benefits and what you like and don't like. So what is it for you right now?
Well, of course I like group exercise, and I've always liked group exercise, but recently I've really been getting into water exercise. I found that, you know, as I'm getting older myself, it's water? Kind of wonderful to get in there. Yeah, water exercise. To get in there and really work really hard, and you come out and you're not, your joints aren't as sore and stiff. So versus if I go running anymore, my knees are hurting, actually, you know, and where if I go jogging in the water or do some water aerobics, I step out and I feel really refreshed. So for me, it's the water exercise now.
Nice. You will like knowing that we filmed a water aerobics video on land, though, in the living room. I'm in shorts and a tank top with goggles on. Came out with goggles, and then I put them on my head, and we filmed the rest of them. And our members that have swimming pools or access to swimming pools, they're like, I totally put my phone on the side and did this workout. And that I used to teach water aerobics when my kids were little itty-bitty. Yep, it's so much fun. I love it. Yes, as a group fitness instructor, I hail what you're doing. I think it's awesome.
Thank you. I hope people will listen to this and they'll try to do it also.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So Patrice, thank you so much for joining us. Where can people find out? We'll put it in the show notes, but for the people that are listening, where can they learn more about what you're doing in your specific clinic?
They can go to our website at www.grouphab.com, and they can find more information about our clinic and what we offer. And then also we do offer certification. So if you're not, don't have the experience in designing group exercise or teaching group exercise, we can actually teach you and you can become group health certified. So we're trying to help in that education piece as well.
That is fantastic. Okay. That's great. So you guys need, that are listening, you're like, man, I should find out. Go check out what she's doing. Follow her on her website and we'll put the link in there. And Patrice, thank you so much again for joining our podcast. It's been great to hear your perspective. Absolutely love what you're doing, and to talking with you again sometime. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. You're welcome. Can I add one more thing really quick? I just thought if you are interested in group exercise, we do have a Facebook group for clinicians and exercise professionals. It's called the Group Exercise Rehab Initiative. So it's GERI. It's a Facebook group, so you could ask to join that and collaborate with other professionals that are also interested in offering group exercise.
Great. Yep. That is great. And Beth, you're on that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's awesome.
Awesome.
Yep. Okay.
Well, thank you so much, and we look forward to talking to you again sometime. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
All right.
Have a great day, everybody.
Okay,
friends and fans, if our podcast floats your goat, you should subscribe to Fit to Be Radio and also follow us on Twitter at Fit to Be, on Instagram at Fit to Be Studio, and on Facebook via Fit to Be Tummy Safe Fitness. That's my rooster. I'd also love for you to join fittobe.com so you can work out with me. Plus, that's how we pay our bills that keep our lights on, providing family-friendly workouts that help you make a strategic return to fitness. See you there.